This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To New South Wales, Sydney, Jeremy Zakas, watching the climate. For weeks now, we've debated with the Metropolitan Weather Bureau whether or not El Nino. Last week, there was some resolution. El Nino is here. And then there was mention of a positive Indian dipole. Results? Heat wave. Jeremy, I'm looking very much at the beach time that people are enjoying here in early spring. I can see that the children enjoy it, though they're supposed to be in school. However, I also see an alarming promise of how hot it's going to get. What are the television people telling you about this springtime, this summer? Good evening to you, Jeremy.
G'day, John. Yes, we have been warned now still that it's going to be catastrophic, except what's actually happening now in the media is that basically we're getting a double down message on what the Bureau of Meteorology told us. And what they're saying now is that, yes, we have El Nino officially declared. We have the Indian Ocean Dipole as well, which is basically fueling the fire of the heat waves we were expecting to get. But that what we felt before, the catastrophic events we've had before, it's going to be worse. So what we're seeing on television, what we're seeing in the news now, day in and day out, is prepare for very, very hot. And when we say very, very hot, we're talking over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, normally around about 110 plus days in a row, followed by strong winds, probable fire conditions. And also the worst part about it, John, the deserts in Australia will probably bring the dust over the eastern seaboard here as well. So we expect to get those high, hot winds. Going to be very, very dusty. We'll get the smoke as well. So basically what we're being told, John, is it's going to be a horrendous, horrendous summer. But I mean, we're already starting to get the temperatures now. So I think summer's really just on our doorstep.
Yes, they're promising 35 degrees centigrade somewhere in Australia right now. Temperatures to soar 8 degrees centigrade above average. They're calling it a heat bubble. Is that the language they're using on the telly? Heat bubble.
Absolutely. They're calling it a heat bubble, which is actually caused by what they say is a heat engine. And heat engine, you know, when you hear that on television, when you hear the Bureau of Meteorology say heat engine, that is always code word in some way for we're going to have very, very hot, unseasonable weather. And the heat bubble refers to the fact that, like a bubble, we'll have about 2 or 3 days now where there will be at least in Sydney or north of Sydney right now, we're expecting 35 degrees Celsius, so just below 100 Fahrenheit. And then all of a sudden, towards either the end of the week or maybe early next week, the temperature will just plummet. And when I say plummet, only by about 10, maybe 20 degrees. So it will still be very, very hot, but like a bubble, it'll burst and it won't be so hot. But with this heat engine, as they're warning us about, it will be shortly afterwards again. We'll start getting those temperatures. They'll be just very hot.
Now, the National Rugby League is playing right now, Jeremy, or this week?
That's correct. They're playing right now. In fact, they're playing this weekend and also over the course of the week.
And they're playing in 35 degrees centigrade somewhere, which seems overwhelming. But this is just the beginning of the springtime. What about rain, Jeremy? El Nino is associated with very warm and very dry. Have you had rain?
We have not. In fact, over the last month now, apart from a couple of nights where we had a very small sprinkling, so not even 1 millimeter, so barely a fraction of an inch of rain, we've had no rain. But this is where the interesting part of the whole Indian Ocean dipole affecting the dynamics of El Nino comes in, because we are expecting rain this week. In fact, on Wednesday and Thursday here in Sydney, we're expecting to have up to 6 inches of rain, and that's coming on top of literally over a month of hot sun, which is hard baking the earth. So that 6 to 7 inches, John, which is expected over Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're expecting could cause flooding. So not only are we being warned about these catastrophic dry conditions, we're actually going to probably get a flood event just before it comes in. So honestly, John, I've been outdoors, I've been weeding my gardens, trying to get prepared for this rain, but I really think I'm going to be seeing sandbags in my neighborhood probably by the end of the week.
I'm preparing for bushfires, right? Bushfires. That's what Australia calls what we call wildfires. I'm preparing for bushfires by making an appointment to speak to Daniel Claude, the biologist, who's written a book some 10 years ago about bushfires and what to expect. In reading the early chapters of the book, this is an education even for Australians who don't grow up in South Australia or other parts of New South Wales that see a lot of bushfires. Jeremy, over the course of your life and your memory, have the bushfires always been the same? Have they gotten worse? Is it because people pay more attention to them? Why does it appear to be a surge now? Was it always like this?
I certainly think, John, it has gotten worse. I remember we did have very, very bad fires back when I was a child growing up in the 1980s. 1990s, I remember quite well. We had some fairly significant ones, but they didn't last long. They'd be large, ferocious, and they'll come under control very quickly. But then as you hit the 2000s to now, the fires have been a lot longer. So instead of just being done in maybe a week or two, as far as completely extinguished and contained in a certain smaller area, they are a lot larger. The winds seem to be fanning them harder. There's a lot more urban areas in the national park areas too, so a lot more houses are being lost and there's a lot more fatalities, but they are a lot more catastrophic than before. And I don't think it's because we've built houses where bushfires are. I think it's genuinely that there's a lot more energy behind them, a lot more hot winds, higher temperatures, and dry tinder. And it may be cyclical, who knows, but it certainly feels like this at the moment is a lot worse than we've ever seen. And genuinely, the ones we saw 2 years ago in this area on the eastern seaboard, so the really terrible fires that lasted over 2 months, as we call the Black Summer fires, we're expecting to see more of those, but they seem to get worse and worse every single year. So honestly, John, as I sort of keep going through seeing fires and witnessing them and being part of them, unfortunately sometimes, they are getting worse. They genuinely feel like they're getting worse.
Angus Hines from the Bureau of Meteorology, a senior meteorologist, reports anecdotally, I believe every month since April has set an average for warmest ocean temperatures for that month. That is the warm temperatures associated with El Nino. So El Nino is upon them officially, the positive Indian dipole to be continued. And the estimate now here in early spring is 8 degrees centigrade above average. It's time to go check on the creatures because they feel the heat too. What does that mean for our reptile population? Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales, reptiles next. That's a warning. I'm John Batchelor. This is the Friends of History Debating Society.